Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, your local alternative Solid State Radio.
What's going on, everybody?
Glad to have you back. I see the surgery went well.
It wasn't a surgery. It was a procedure. They took a camera and they shoved it where the sun don't shine.
Poor Adam. And then he had to send it to me and Drew, which was really just wonderful of you.
Well, it reminded me of that drop that we have. Hey, everybody, look what's my, you know, and yeah. You guys have all heard it. So I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. I can't wait to show the kids. It's going to be fun. I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of this.
He really, truly is. Like, this is going to be a thing for a while, I have a feeling.
Hey, look, everybody, it's my butthole. Yeah, there you go. Had it ready to go and everything. Yeah, it was, except for an IV. Have you ever had an IV?
No.
I don't like the idea of an IV. And I was like putting my head to the side. And once you got the IV in there, it was all golden. They put that stuff in there, let you sleep. I don't remember falling asleep. I just woke up and I knew, you know, it was like I snapped awake.
Right.
What kind of image does that bring to your mind? Of a butthole.
Get him in the South Star there, Jimmy.
The stuff I say on this show, it's fantastic.
The day before was the prep day, and then, you know, you're supposed to take these pills and put this, mix this powder in there and drink this, and pretty much just
evacuate everything that you've ever had in the last 20 years.
And everybody's like, oh, wasn't that the worst part? I'm like, I've been drinking cheap beer for years. I've been training for this. This was just another, no,
this is what I've been preparing my whole life for. Yeah,
you didn't really make any other plans.
I mean,
played a little Xbox, watched the Lions. And I watched the Wings prospect tourney.
Right.
And ran a path through the floor to the bathroom.
Of a butthole.
Yeah. But
sometimes I just don't know what all the drops are.
You just hit them at random now. But doctor said everything looked good.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, well, he's everything looked fantastic. Gave a chef's kiss. Mwah. No. And then he sent me a dozen roses. I don't know what that meant, but...
Yeah, that was odd, but, you don't question it.
No, get it done, guys. When you get to a certain age, get it done. Because if they find that stuff quick enough, it's easy to remove, and you don't have to worry about it. It's when you start having problems, then they find it. That's when you're gonna have a bad time.
Right. A public service announcement brought to you by Solid State Radio.
So get your ass checked. Hey, look, everybody, it's my butthole. Solid State Radio, get your ass checked.
That really just needs to be we need to cut that PSA, like, post-haste, really.
Hi, I'm Adam from Solid State Radio. Now, normally you hear me on Happy Hour, but I'd like to take a moment to talk about your butthole. There's a lot of secrets in your butthole, and only your doctor can find out. So have your butthole checked out today.
A public service announcement brought to you by Solid State Radio. We do have...
Wait, this isn't going to be butthole talk all week.
It's not going to be the butthole show today. I mean, pretty close.
What kind of image does that bring to your mind? Of a butthole.
But we do have... We have some actual sports things to get to. A few overreactions from the week that was in NFL football. Yeah. And, plenty of other things to talk about. I'm sure you're going to want to get your input in on with the whole Mike Babcock thing as well.
I certainly am, yes.
So all of that and much more coming up this afternoon. Stick around. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Cowboy Junkies at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Shall we get the Mel Tucker stuff out of the way? The daily installment of...
this episode of Mel Tucker Place.
Yeah, something like that.
When last we left Mel Tucker, he was in some deep doo-doo.
I'm a horse football coach right now.
Yes, he certainly was. Tuck coming. Tuck came. Tuck now officially gone. Tuck trying to get himself, it sounds like there's a lawsuit forthcoming.
He went and tucked himself.
He really did. He put out a statement today saying he was disappointed but not surprised to learn that the university intends to fire him next week. So he claims now that he's threatening a lawsuit, but he's battling a serious health condition. He said he recently emailed Athletic Director Alan Haller requesting a medical leave under the Family Medical Leave Act for a serious health condition. He didn't provide additional details. Quote, I don't believe MSU plans to fire me because I admitted to an entirely consensual private relationship with another adult who gave one presentation at MSU at my behest over 2 years ago. A cursory reading of the facts and timeline should cause any fair-minded person to conclude that other motives are at play. I look forward to one day obtaining discovery against MSU, including the trustees and athletic department, to see what they really knew and said about the matter, as well as their motives in handling the entire investigative process.
I'm a horse football coach right now.
Like, I'm sorry. I don't see how any of this still really will save your ass in any way, shape, or form. Let's go back to. I don't believe MSU plans to fire me because I admitted to an entirely consensual private relationship with another adult who gave a presentation at MSU at my behest over 2 years ago. She was still a paid vendor of the school. That still doesn't make you look good in any of this.
No, no. Especially, I mean, she was speaking on rape. I mean,
she's literally speaking about sexual harassment and sexual assault. And this is the woman that you decide that you're going to try and sexually harass.
The guy likes a challenge.
I guess. That's I can't explain the complete and utter lack of judgment here any other way. And I am actually kind of disappointed with the amount of people I have seen actually trying to defend in any way the Mel Tucker stuff. Like, this man was absolutely, like, people are like, claiming this man was, like, railroaded. Like, what you admitted to doing is enough to fire you. What you just said, like, you were engaging with in an affair with a consensual private relationship with someone that the university was paying to be there. That's still not cool, man.
No.
Still not cool. Oh, it was a setup. She could have hung up the phone. Like, that doesn't matter. None of that matters.
Maybe it was a setup. Maybe it was not. But, I mean,
it's still a terrible judgment call.
It's 2023. When did you think this was a good idea?
Like, I don't care if it was a, like, maybe you're right. Maybe it was. Maybe this whole thing was a ploy on her part. How does that still excuse the awful judgment call made here in attempting to pursue a relationship with her? Knowing that you're paying her, the athletic department is paying her to be there, how do you still have the brains to not have the brains to not dive directly into that? I don't understand. I don't understand at all.
It's a simple lack of judgment.
And honestly,
brains.
I really just want State to just shut up about the whole damn thing, pay whatever money you have to pay them to get them out of there, and quit trying to win a PR battle that you're clearly never going to win. Like that, I mean, you're trying to look good in the media and put out whatever statements and do whatever spin. Like, I don't think that there's anything right now that would be more effective for you than if you were to just shut it down, just not to not say anything further about it. Just refer back to the termination for cause statement. It says it all right there. There's nothing else that needs to be said.
Right.
Like, anything you say is just going to dig you a deeper hole at this point, and that's really the last thing you need, because, like, you don't need help with bad PR. Like, you're already the masters of it. You're already doing a bang-up job of that. You don't need anyone else's help. Oh, I just, with this whole thing, man, I'm entirely over it. Like, it's just, makes me want to just watch the entire university and athletic department, not the entire university, but certainly them all just crash and burn and just burn it all down and start over.
Well, the audacity, I keep going back to this well, the audacity of Mel Tucker to do this. People must get away with this all of the time. There must be people that we wouldn't even think of doing this kind of stuff to women over the phone or in person. And they get away with it. Because why would he think
that he
it was
get
okay
with it? Yeah, it really makes you wonder how much these guys are really getting away with outside of this. Like that doesn't get reported on, that no one hears about. Like, it probably is happening to a greater extent than any of us really really know.
Well, I just wonder, and it's a legitimate wonder, and anybody who's listening can chime in on Facebook if you want, if you agree with me or disagree with me. But had Mel Tucker been an accomplished coach, like let's say State had won a national championship or was sniffing around a national championship, had winning records. Would this maybe be swept under the rug?
Probably. Honestly, probably. Like, this doesn't get... It probably doesn't get brought up. Like, it probably never gets leaked out to the public at that point, and we don't hear anything from it until whatever the Title IX investigation determines. Right. I'm sure that there's something in play there that's why it became a public thing and a fireable, officially a fireable offense. But it's still, we've watched teams do that sort of thing when they were actually doing well. The Celtics situation I keep going back to, they were very much in contention. They were doing quite well when Udoka got sacked over what he was doing. So I think we've really reached a point where it's going to take a lot more than just, you know, that winning's not necessarily going to be able to gloss over things as much as it might have in the past.
Well, I wish we would have been able to see, but no. So maybe State is better off then.
No, State's better off in every way, shape, or form. I mean, guy basically came in like he had one good season, and based on that one good season, they signed him to a $100 million contract and then proceeded to tear down the program and replace it with, I'm not sure what even this is. Like, I watched part of that game on Saturday. I'm still not entirely sure what it was exactly that I even watched or why the hell I'm so invested in this team at all. Like, it really, like, I feel like there's probably a lot of Spartan fans out there that are thinking much the same thing. Like, why am I wasting my time on this team at this point?
$100 million contract.
I mean, if somebody was assigned,
well, whatever. If somebody was to sign me to a $95 million contract, I'd watch my P's, Q's, T's, I's. I'd watch everything.
Yeah, you would like to think that most sane people would.
I wouldn't look directly at a woman. I'd look at it like through a mirror or something like that. You know, I just, you know, oh, yeah, yes, ma'am. Yes, I understand. I want you to stay on this side of the table. I want to stay on this side of the table, and there will be no touching or anything. No, I will not give you direct eye contact. It's good to see you, Mom. Hope to see you at Christmas.
Right. Just not, I mean, that's, you would think that that's not a high standard to surmount here. Don't have affairs with coworkers or subordinates, and don't sexually harass people. You'd think that's an easy bar to clear for $95 million.
Well, my favorite defense was, what? He's married. He's been married for like over 15 years. He's married. Yeah, like he's like, he'd be the first married guy to...
Yeah, because you never hear about married people having affairs ever.
No, never.
Never happens. Ever. Yeah, no, not buying that at all. Here's Faith No More at your local alternative Solid State Radio. 30 Seconds of Mars at your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. And this is going to end up kind of turning into a little bit of an overreaction Tuesday. And I know yesterday was very heavy on the lines and very, oh my God, the sky is falling. Everything's terrible. Like, this team's going to be garbage again at the bottom of the NFC North. But I do have to say, I'm getting worried about some things. There are some injuries that have come to light here, and no good news here, really. So during a radio appearance this morning, we find out C.J. Gardner-Johnson tore a pectoral muscle. He is going to be out possibly for the entire year.
Great.
A dude who signed a one-year prove-it deal with Detroit, so his Lions career is unfortunately probably done, which is a bummer because he was one of those guys who I really felt like was going to be, like, much like Jamal Williams was last year, kind of the good guy in the locker room who really kind of rallied the team. You know, last year was a lot of, you know, that SOL, that isn't us kind of thing. And this year, like, he was really getting into and really embracing, which is weird for a guy who was like basically who's basically said that I'm probably gonna leave for more money somewhere else this offseason.
Wasn't he the guy behind the
ski mask thing?
Ski masks, yeah.
Okay, I mean, that was stupid, I'm not gonna lie to you, but he really seemed to have his heart in the right place as far as, you know, his commitment to the team and really sounding like he wanted to be here and, you know, build the culture up here. And he's now probably done for the year. You've got Taylor Decker, who's probably not going to come back this week after suffering an ankle injury in week 1. Emmanuel Moseley, whose rehab from his torn ACL was set back by a hamstring injury suffered in practice. David Montgomery's basically on one leg right now. How all of a sudden did Vitae become like the key cog that makes the offensive line not look like trash? I don't understand that, but here the hell we are, and you're missing him. Like, all of a sudden, the injuries after like 2 weeks are piling up.
You expect injuries to happen, but wow, not all at one time.
And it does seem like they all hit at one time, and there's just, and I'm worried because there is a lack of depth here. Like, you don't have great position, you know, great pieces behind them. Like, we're throwing Tracy Walker back out there, and Tracy Walker was garbage his entire time as a starter here for the most part. Like, honestly, I mean, yeah, could you argue he'd start at safety at, you know, most teams in this league? Yeah, but would he necessarily be good? And is he a definite downgrade from what you have? Abso-effing-lutely. Yeah, this might be, like, there's a lot of issues here all of a sudden. And your running game, I mean, you put a lot of money in David Montgomery, and you don't know how long he's going to be out for. It sounds like for quite a while. Oh, and James Houston's out till November, too. So, you know, as if the secondary wasn't already struggling enough, yeah. You now have that. Like, that somehow, that combination between all the guys that you're going to be out for significant periods of time, which, all right, now it's time to stop using Jahmyr Gibbs as a luxury and actually, like, the vital cog of this offense he has now absolutely become, just throwing that out there. But between that and between some of the misfires on fourth down on Sunday and Dan Campbell's super aggressive until we're suddenly not approach, I'm starting to get worried, man.
Yeah.
I really am.
Yeah, I mean, the way that game was mismanaged.
The pass rush has to be more aggressive than it is.
Yeah.
And also, it would be nice if maybe we could get an actual holding call on Aiden Hutchinson once or twice. I'm just putting that out there. That would be great, wouldn't it?
I mean, he had everything but his wallet taken from him in that play.
For the second week in a row. Yeah. And he was getting those calls throughout the same thing was happening throughout the game yesterday. Jawan Taylor was doing the same stuff to him in the Kansas City game. Like, we can't get an effing break. I mean, the good teams are supposed to overcome that sort of thing, but it would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't expect, there's a lot of people who didn't expect them to win against the Chiefs. They won. Everybody expected them to beat Seattle. They didn't. So a lot of people are like, okay, in my mind, they're right on track. They're 1-1. But now you figure in the lack of calls, which I'm trying not to go that route, but touchdown, I don't get it. I texted you. I said, apparently I don't understand what a touchdown is in the NFL.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a confusing
I mean, what happened
thing.
To having to have the ball cross the plane? Both feet have to land on the ground. You have to say a Hail Mary. You have to complete the process.
Yeah, all the rules that just really kind of apparently go out the window when it's against us.
Yeah, kind of. That's what it is. And then somebody was telling me, and again, I apologize. I don't know all the rules in football, but somebody said, yeah, I thought it was if they score, then the other team gets a chance to score. They said, oh, that's just for the playoffs. That should be universal. It should be the same for regular season and playoffs.
Nope. That's an issue, which, I mean, okay. I'm not even going to be mad at that one because, you know what? On that entire drive, you only had one play in their entire game-winning drive where Geno Smith didn't get where that team didn't get positive yardage, and that was an incompletion. And other than that, you weren't able to get a single stop. Every single play, except for the incompletion, was for positive yardage in that drive. You didn't deserve to win at that point anyway.
Yep.
Like, if you can't get a single stop against Geno effing Smith, we can't blitz this man. We can't put some pressure on him. We can't, like, we see what happens when you get a little bit of pressure on him. He damn near ran back into his own end zone earlier in the game. Like, they just don't seem to be able to do that or have the capability to do that, and I don't know why. It's not like Geno Smith is this crazy downfield threat. Why are we not blitzing him more? Make him earn those drives with his arm.
Yep.
Make him beat you. Yep. And you're going to have to do that Sunday against, I mean, Desmond Ridder should be fairly easy to contain. I get that you're going for the, you know, contain the mobile QB thing, you know, collapse the pocket. But when you collapse the pocket and he still it has plenty of time to get off an effing throw, what are we doing? It's just infuriating, and I don't understand, I guess, what Aaron Glenn's doing, scheming it the way he is. But you've got to actually put some pressure on a quarterback. Like I said yesterday, you didn't get a hit on Geno Smith until 2 minutes left in the game. Mm-hmm. You went 57, 58 minutes of football without hitting the quarterback once. How? How is that even possible? How is a respectable NFL defense not able to do that? And you're good at stuffing the run. I'll give you credit for that. And you're probably gonna have to be. You have to keep that up. But I would like to see more on the defensive side of things. And now with the missing the couple guys we are, I'm really kind of worried about that come Sunday against the Falcons.
All right.
Like I'm trying to be optimistic here, man. Like it's taking everything in me to not just flip the switch and go, you know what? Heel turn. SOL. Always was, always will be. It's hard, man. This is a weird spot for me to be in right now.
Yes.
I've set actual expectations, and the expectations are, you know, I'm being let down and actually feeling it, and I don't know how to deal with this.
We've never been here.
We haven't. We haven't been in a place where we've had expectations of our football team possibly ever, but here we are now. Here's Royal Blood, Solid State Radio. Bush on Happy Hour, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. We've got a full week of NFL action to overreact to, so let's do this thing. Maestro, the music, please.
NFL Week 2 overreactions. CBS Sports has theirs. I kind of want to see if you, Sean Cantwell, agree with them.
All right. Lay it on me.
The Jets need to move on from Zach Wilson in order to make the playoffs.
No, they absolutely need to move on from Zach Wilson yesterday.
He was horrible in his first start filling in for Aaron Rodgers, going 12 of 27 for 170 yards with one touchdown and three interceptions.
Yeah, he's not good, and it was even worse in the second half. He had three picks in that game. You got blown out by Dallas, which, I mean, apparently everyone's getting blown out by Dallas. Maybe they're the real deal after all.
I'm thinking so.
Look, I get that Zach Wilson's familiar with the scheme, familiar with the offense, familiar with that offensive line, can get plays out in, like, no time flat because he has to because his O-line is trash. But it doesn't matter. We know he can't work in that scheme. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have gone out and acquired Aaron Rodgers in the offseason. He's done. He can't function in this offense. You have to go. I don't know who you're going to get at this point, but you have to go out and get somebody. You absolutely have. If you think that you're in any kind of contention for the AFC East at this point, you have to go out and find somebody. I'm just saying, maybe you need to maybe call the Lions for old Teddy football. Ooh. Maybe there's your option. I don't know. But something has to be done and quick because this is not going to you're not going to make the playoffs with Zach Wilson. You're not going to finish above third in the division with Zach Wilson.
Okay, moving on. NFC East is the best division in the NFL again. Overreaction or reality?
You know, it's kind of looking that way. I mean, you have three teams that are 2-0, and then you have the other one 1-1. The G-Men, I mean, okay, I'll give the G-Men credit for coming back in the second half. But, I mean, it's against Arizona, so, I mean, how much stock am I really putting into it? And without Saquon, you're boned, really. Like, the Eagles and the Cowboys have moved up. Like, I would say the Cowboys have moved above San Fran in the depth chart for best team in the AFC.
In two games, they've outscored their opponents 70-10.
That defense is absolutely unstoppable. Micah Parsons might be the best player in the NFL right now. And I do think you're going to have at least two teams come out of the NFC East into the playoffs this year. There's no way around it, really. Philly's just that good. And Dallas is, like I said, quickly moved up the depth chart. For me right now, it's Philly, Dallas, and San Fran in my NFC power rankings, basically.
Okay.
Am I going to say they're the best division in the East?
Well, they got two of the best teams
They have two of the best teams.
You also got the G-Men and Washington.
I mean, By that definition, then yes, absolutely. But it's a pretty steep drop-off from there. The Commanders are better, but I still don't know if I'd say they're good. And the Giants, I don't think, are good.
All right.
I don't see them getting three teams in the playoffs, that's for sure. That's not happening.
All right, is this overreaction or reality? Brandon Staley won't last the season in Los Angeles.
It should be a foregone conclusion that no, he's not going to make it there. Like, it should be reality, I think. Like, thus far, they've scored 50 points, haven't turned over the ball at all. They're doing Justin Herbert a disservice by keeping that man around. Isn't Brandon Staley supposed to be like this defensive whiz kid? Like the defensive version of Sean McVay? We haven't seen that because they somehow, despite all the points they're putting up and taking care of the football on the offensive side of this thing, they still can't win an effing game.
You have two losses by a combined 5 points, allowing 30.5 points per game in those losses.
Yeah, no, at this point, you need to turn it around quick. He's absolutely on the hot seat, and I could see them making a change mid-season if he doesn't right the ship and quick.
Let's go back to the NFC East for just a moment. Is this an overreaction or a reality? The Giants are done without Saquon Barkley.
Done. They're absolutely done. Like, that man is what makes that entire offense work. Like, that's the only reason that Danny Jones is allowed to be, is able to be what he is because of him. With him on the field, you can actually, you know, you actually have another threat to look at. Like, he can get away with things because everyone's covering, you know, expecting Barkley to take off. You don't have another threat outside of Barkley in the run game, so no one's going to be fooled that you're going to go elsewhere at that point. Like, 259 yards, 17 for 21, and 58 yards rushing for 58 yards and a touchdown with Barkley on the field. Without him, it's not good. How long he's going to be out, I don't think it matters at this point. Like, if he's missing any amount of time, they're not going to be able to gain enough ground to maintain any kind of playoff chase. Philly and Dallas are right there. They're not slowing down by any means. Anything with more than a couple weeks is a death sentence for New York.
Absolutely. Bijan Robinson.
Bijan.
Bijan Robinson is already a top five running back in the NFL. Overreaction or reality?
I know there are a lot of people who wanted him here. And honestly, this dude is very much in play for Rookie of the Year, I think. And that offensive line is really good at run blocking, and that has helped him quite a bit. He has first 100-yard rushing game against the Pack, and it's a good thing that your run defense is rather stout in Detroit because you're going to have a hard time containing this guy when he comes to town on Sunday. He's already second in the league in rushing yards, fourth in the NFL in yards from scrimmage. He's averaging 6.2 yards a carry. No, he's absolutely a top five running back, and well, now that Nick Chubb's basically dead, he only moves up the depth chart in my world.
Yep.
Oh man, last night, that was that, and I don't think it's overreaction there that the Cleveland's done now Nick Chubb's out. Like, the injury was so, it's just a little sidebar here, injury was so gruesome that even Joe Buck on the game was like, we've been told we can't re-show that because it was so ugly. Like,
wow. And usually they can't stop showing it.
Yeah, they'll show you every angle from the thing. They'll give you x-rays and the whole bit.
I mean, like, they'll do the picture-in-picture during a Coca-Cola commercial or something like that.
Exactly. Like, it's so bad, but yet they wouldn't. Like, everyone's like, and they were doing the whole thing where, like, we're going to get, like, everyone else on Twitter, what they're saying about, you know, LeBron James wishes him the best and all this stuff. Like, he's done for the year. Who knows when, if he's coming back. Like, that was rough. He's lost for the year at a minimum. And Deshaun Watson struggling so mightily right now. Like, that was trash football. That game, and quite frankly, the New Orleans Carolina one last night, so bad. Some of the worst football I think we've ever seen put on display, honestly. And I think we're really confirming that the whole thing about you can't just take a season off from the NFL because you never come back the same. Deshaun Watson's proving that. So just kind of bonus overreaction there.
Sure.
But yeah, back to the Bijan thing. Yeah, top five running back in the league. Next.
The Chiefs badly miss Orlando Brown.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Juwan Taylor, regardless of him just, you know, manhandling Aiden Hutchinson in week one,
yeah,
he's allowed one pressure in 88 pass blocking snaps for two games, but he had five penalties against the Jags. He got flagged twice for false starts, one for an illegal formation, which, again, didn't get called in week one, and two holding calls. Go figure. Wait, Juwan Taylor absolutely can't do what he does without blatant cheating. Yeah, that Casey really could use him right now. And meanwhile, Donovan Smith has allowed seven pressures through two games and three QB hits. Pressure rate allowed is 7.8%. The only reason Smith hasn't allowed a sack, though, is because Pat Mahomes, you know how he is. He gets rid of the football so quickly, he doesn't have time to get sacked. He's that good at that. Like, they need to solve their issues. They need a tackle desperately.
Colts should sit Anthony Richardson for a week. Overreaction or reality?
Should? Probably. He's already not finishing games great. Like, he's had to leave both his games he started this year with an injury of some sort, a concussion last week.
So,
but
yeah,
you've got Gardner Minshew as your backup. And he went in that game 19 for 23, 171 yards with a touchdown. You could sit him. Are they going to? No, they're not. Should they? Absolutely, they should. I mean, as much as you don't like to immediately like start benching guys like that, for the sake of his health, it's a throwaway season for the Colts. You're already, everyone in that division is cannon fodder for the Jaguars anyway.
Yep.
So you might as well bench him, give him the rest, let Uncle Rico go out there and hold down the fort for a week or two, and let this kid get healthy. I think it should, it's not an overreaction, but I don't think they're going to do it, because that would take someone in that organization having a brain.
All right, tell me if this is an overreaction or a reality. Baker Mayfield has the Buccaneers as the best team in the NFC South.
Look, let's pump the brakes on the Baker Mayfield train, shall we? He's been good. He's been rather efficient passing. He's been completing a high percentage of his passes. He hasn't thrown a pick yet. And he's been pretty well protected by that O-line. No turnovers through two games. Nice to see. But I'm not sure. The Falcons might still be... I mean, they're a 2-0 that I think is a tad bit fraudulent. But they are still 2-0. The Saints? No, I have no faith in that team. Again, that was some of the ugliest football ever. Just a disaster, really, last night. All the way, both teams don't even care. Neither one of them are any good. They could be the best team in the NFC South, but let's see where this Falcons thing goes first before we start anointing Baker Mayfield king of the division.
Overreaction or reality? The Lions will beat the Dirty Birds by 3 touchdowns.
Oh, that's absolutely an overreaction. You've got to be kidding me. Honestly, at this point, you'll be lucky to beat them by a touchdown. Like,
they're still favored by 3.
They are, and they should be, because the Dirty Birds are an absolutely fraudulent 2-0. But that being said, can't sleep on Bijan Robinson. But I think your D-line should be able to stop him and neutralize him fairly well. It's, can you actually mount something resembling a pass rush? That's going to be the question here. If you can do that, okay, maybe you have a chance. If you can get to Desmond Ridder a little bit better than you did to Geno, chase this guy, make him run for his life, you have a shot. And you absolutely should. You should win this game. If you don't, at that point, it's hard for me to defend you being the NFC North favorites.
Yep.
Just don't walk in there assuming that you've got the win, as, you know, don't get cocky about it. That's the thing. You have to earn every bit of it in this league. That's just how that works. And I would like to think that Campbell and company will have them prepared to do that, but I'm worried, man. You know,
this game definitely brought Campbell down to earth.
Let's hope so. I hope it did. I'm hoping that maybe this was a little bit of a wake-up call. like last year with the Vikings and the bad fourth down decisions in that game kind of woke him up a little bit. I'm hoping that this will maybe settle some things in there for him and Aaron Glenn. We'll see, though. There's your overreactions. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. These are the new at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And we kind of have to. I let you have the floor here for a minute because Mike Babcock is officially out in Columbus. And I talked at length about it yesterday, but yeah. I know you've been chomping at the bit to get your two cents in on it.
Well, I think we're pretty much this may be kind of a rerun for listeners who were listening to yesterday's show, but because you and I are on the same page. But in a word, good.
Needed to happen.
We knew this was going to happen when he was named coach. Was it in July?
Yeah,
he was named head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets in a move that just stinked of desperation. No other NHL team would even talk to him, and so the only team that he had a shot of getting behind a bench of an NHL team, it was the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he blew it. He blew it in
impressive how quickly he brought an end to his coaching career. Honestly,
I mean, the guy ran himself out of a job in Toronto, playing these mind games. I mean, we talked about it. He's a psych major from McGill University, and he uses these mind games to F with people. He is a supervillain. He's a DC supervillain who just...
DC couldn't have come up with this good of a supervillain, quite frankly.
Those of our listeners who you know maybe take psych classes before are maybe familiar with the Karen Horney OK Corral. But if you follow that, he is, by definition, a sociopath. He thinks he's all right. He thinks everybody else is wrong.
Yeah.
So he pulls this crap in Toronto.
Look at you pulling out all the psych talk here.
I know. Listen to this. He got into the heads of players in Detroit, ruined Johan Franzen. Just actually
destroyed that man.
Fried his brain. Went in Toronto, pulled that stuff. He gets ousted. And with the exception of being like the senior advisor to some collegiate team, he wasn't sniffing around the NHL. He should have learned his lesson. But no, the minute he gets in there, all of a sudden he's bringing in players, starting like with Boone Jenner, some of his bigger players, and I want to see your phone. You know, you want to see what? I want to see your phone. I want to go through your pictures and see what kind of person I'm dealing with here. And then it wasn't just enough. Naturally, he has to throw that curveball, just like with Mitch Marner being forced to submit a list of players he thinks works the hardest down to the players he doesn't think works the hardest. He takes these photos and puts them on a screen for everybody to see.
What a class act, that guy.
What a D-bag.
Well, that's probably the really more operative words there, I suppose.
I mean, the players have got to know. And they probably have heard things about Mike Babcock. What would happen if they said no? No, sorry, Babs, you can't see my phone. Sorry, coach.
They would have been benched.
Probably. But you know what? There's a lot of private stuff on phones. And nudity, you know, maybe some peener pics. I know that, you know, my wife has sent me some very nice little pictures that I wouldn't want other people to see.
Right. I would imagine probably a good 75% of the guys on that team probably have those sort of pics on their phone.
Yeah, and they're entitled to it. It's their privacy.
Right.
That's like going through somebody's, you know, computer history or going with them on dates and, you know, peeking through the bushes. I mean, they're entitled to their privacy. Now, if he wants to go, you have to give me access to your social media. Basically, friend Mike Babcock on Facebook or something like that. Not give him the password or anything like that.
Yeah.
But he overstepped so many bounds that it was obvious that he hadn't learned a damn thing. And Columbus Blue Jackets, as desperate as they are, I've got to applaud them. They made the right decision. They pretty much said, listen, we're going to fire you. Why don't you just step down? And that's exactly what happened. I wish all the well to Blue Jackets and their fans, but trust me, you guys dodged a bullet with this sociopath.
No, they absolutely did. Although, like I told you yesterday, I have to think that Jarmo Kekäläinen's kind of on the hot seat now. Like, you only get so many head coaching hires as a GM, and this is now his fourth, I believe.
Okay. I mean, yeah, he hasn't had a really great track record.
No, he hasn't. He's been there a decade and probably should have been. Like, how long are you going to ride the high of, you know, Torts getting you past the first round for the only time in your existence?
Well, I mean, Babcock, on paper, not in the newspaper, but on paper, he's been to the Big Dance twice, won a Stanley Cup, and he's got one or two gold medals, albeit from some pretty stacked teams.
But I say, we're talking distant past at this point.
I think his last gold medal was in 2014.
I wouldn't realize it was that recently.
2010, they beat Team USA to win the gold, and then he won another one. So yeah, that would have been 2014.
Right.
So, I mean, he's got a resume, but it's also all the rest of the stuff. You're gonna poison your locker room by having this guy around. And everybody knew it. And now you got, of course, guess who's popping off today? Or was it yesterday?
Mike Commodore?
Mike Commodore.
Yeah. I'm shocked. I have not seen any of that yet.
Called him a predator.
Wow.
Yes, called him a predator. A garbage human being or something like that. He added some other stab at him. Darren McCarty has been... not really taking swipes at him, but backing up Paul Bissonnette when Paul Bissonnette said he was a garbage human being. So, I mean, there's no way, and I'm calling it right now. They say never. I'm saying never will Mike Babcock get behind the bench in any capacity for an NHL game ever again.
I agree. There's no way he can come back from this. Like, this is, like, you've gotten about as far as you can at this point. You've burned every bridge that you possibly could have. There's no way, especially now that that's happened. And my, you're right, Commodore's just Twitter was just, you arrogant PSS, you've been a predator your entire career, you're officially toxic, pack your ass and go home forever.
Yep. And a lot of people, when he first started popping off, and this was like, what, 5 years ago? When he was first popping off about Babcock, everybody's like, oh, you just didn't get the ice time, you were a lackluster player, you're a C-roll player, and then... You got guys like Chelly. I was going, well, he's not completely wrong here. He is kind of a garbage human being.
Yeah.
Like, you got Jason Spezza popping off, some really high name players.
Yeah.
Saying this guy.
This guy's a toxic piece of crap. Like, yep. This man might honestly be the most hated coach in the NHL since Mike Keenan.
Oh, wow. That's saying a lot.
Like, I don't know if I can. Like, tell me I'm wrong there. Like, is there another coach you can remember that got this much just... So much was talked about how abusive he was to players and how much of an a-hole he was. Yeah. That was just as universally hated as Babcock is since Keenan left the game?
No. The only thing I can think of is Barry Melrose. I've never seen a guy get fired in the middle of the season and... take to the press, I hope this team never wins another game ever again.
Okay, he might probably be, maybe not as hated, but he's probably up there. I think Babcock's, like,
just... Babcock is feared. He's hated, he's feared, he's bad for the game. He's got to go, he's got to stay away.
No, like, he has to be done. There's no way around it.
I think the NHL should, I think Gary Bettman and Bill Daly should round the troops and see what this guy has done. Get some testimony from guys like Mike Commodore, Mike Modano, Spezza, Chelios, and really consider banning this guy from the National Hockey League. No alumni games, no appearances. You can keep your name on the Stanley Cup, but that is it.
Yeah, that should be it. Like that. There's no way he's allowed to coach in this league again. No way anyone would be stupid enough to hire him. Like, he officially gets put on that Joe Quenneville, like, blacklist forever.
Quenneville will get a gig before Babcock does.
I don't think either one of them will, though.
Quenneville knew a lot, and he kept his mouth shut.
Yeah, that put such a stain on him and that team forever. Him, and Stan Bowman's probably never going to get a job again, too, which, you know, there was just so much going on there. Like, but I think we've now added another name to that list of guys who are not getting hired by any NHL team again.
I feel bad because the Columbus Blue Jackets, they have the making of a really good team. They need somebody who's going to, this guy that they named, I don't know him well enough. I don't have really high feeling for this cat. The Columbus Blue Jackets need a really good coach. I think.
Bring back Torts.
I wouldn't hate it. I think they really need to maybe try to talk to some former players who want to give coaching a try. I mean, if they got Igor Larionov and the players were able to understand what the hell they were saying, I think the Columbus Blue Jackets are probably, you know, contenders in 5 years because he's that smart of a guy.
No, he is absolutely.
As much as we laugh about Jeff Blashill, if they were able to lure him away from Tampa, that may not be the worst plan. I think that would be a good fit.
I don't know if I necessarily buy Blashill just because of what he did here, but you know, I guess you could do a lot. You could do somewhat worse.
Well, looking back now, what we know now, as opposed to what we knew then, we always wanted to kind of shoulder the blame onto Ken Holland why we couldn't get these big name free agents. Now, I mean, in some way, do we owe Ken Holland an apology? Should we start having the happy hour apology list? Oh, we do have an apology list. Hey, how about that?
It's almost like we already have one, though. Yeah. But also no, because everything he did after Babcock left.
He did get that Tatar trade. He got a first-round pick, second-round pick, and a third-round pick for Thomas Tatar. Oh, I'm sorry, Tomáš Tatar.
Going to be a good day, Tatar.
Yep, who's now an Avalanche.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that.
Going to be a bad day, Tatar.
Here's Pearl Jam at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Nirvana at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And, of course, we found a way to get two hockey stories out today, you know, in mid-September.
And I still have stuff left over. I know we're going to have Drew Duffy in studio with us tomorrow. I'm going to have to squeeze
the rest
in
of the some, week, it sounds like.
So I'm going to squeeze in some more hockey. But Yzerman had a kind of like a online press conference, and some people are not happy. Not happy with the Weiser plan. He's saying that the playoffs or bust motif is not exactly the way things are. He says it is not playoffs or bust for the Wings this year.
Well, that's so great. So once again, prepare yourselves for disappointment, kids.
He says, as he enters his fifth season in charge of the Wings, I've assembled a group of players that project to stir excitement when training camp begins this week. He says, we had some spots on the roster to fill, and we were able to do that free agency, so it's a bit of a new group, particularly on the blue line. So some new faces, some younger players that are maybe pushing for a spot on the roster, which stands out. It's going to be interesting to see how the new faces come together. I mean, he did add a lot on the blue line. Gostisbehere, Jeff Petrie, Justin Hull. Then in forward, he brought in DeBrincat, JT Compher, Klim Kostin, Daniel Sprong, and Christopher Fisher.
Yeah.
So he's saying we'd be thrilled to make the playoffs. Is it a playoff or bust? When you say playoff or bust, I guess you're prepared to trade all your draft picks and whatever you have to do at some point. So no, it's not a playoffs or bust. But we are going to try to win every game, and we're going to try to make the playoffs, but it's not at the expense of the future. I'm trying to build a nucleus of a team that can make the playoffs on an annual basis. You squeak in 1 year and you don't have the foundation to sustain it, we're going to be sitting here 2 years from now and wondering again.
I think I just got clickbaited here, man.
Why?
Because you sold me on, oh, well, it's not about, like, making playoffs or bust. Like, I'm not thinking, like, that we have to, like, start mortgaging away the future completely to make it into a wild card spot. I'm just saying that the expectation should be playoffs this year, that this team should be good enough to do that.
And I think that's the only part where he disagrees with us. Because I agree, too. I think we've been patient. I think he has done a lot, especially on the blue line, like we're talking about. He made too many moves in free agency for to not make the playoffs. It is obvious he's trying to improve this team. And I think he may not come out and say it, but I would say that if they don't make a wild card spot, even if they lose in the first round, if they don't make a wild card spot in the playoffs, chalk this up as a failure. The team is getting too good to to be missing the playoffs. Are they good enough to win the Stanley Cup?
No. No. Are they good enough to get out of the first round? Probably not.
Maybe. I'd give it even money. A 50% chance, I should say.
I mean, they won't get shut out of the in the wild card, I don't think. Like, I do believe they make the playoffs, they can win a couple games, but I don't think they're winning a series.
It all depends on who they draw as a dance partner. If it's Boston, I think they got a shot. Tampa is just too strong. Wouldn't that be a bite in Yzerman's ass, a team that he built?
Right.
Comes back.
Either way, I win.
The monster attacks his own creator. I don't think it's... No, I'm going to... I don't know. Man, I don't like disagreeing with Yzerman. I just feel dirty. I feel so wrong doing this. I'm not going to say playoffs are bust in the sense that trading away draft picks and mortgaging the future like he was talking about. No, definitely not. But it needs to be... He needs to come out and say, this is the goal. He needs to put that in Derek Lalonde's head. He needs to put that in the players' heads when they go into training camp. We've been out of the playoffs for 7, 8 years now, 9 years. It's actually this will be year 10, I think. If last time they won it, were in the playoffs in 2013, something like that. 2014. Excuse me.
Fans are getting restless, man.
and they rightfully should. It's not one of those things. Oh well, we're spoiled because we were in the playoffs for 25 years. No, we're closing in on a decade. Not in the playoffs. And the Wings have made some good moves. They've had some good players come. They've had some good players go. They've made some good draft picks. They've had high draft picks. It's time to see some, it's time to see some dividend on our patience. The rebuild, we're starting to see the building. We just want to come in and check it out.
Yeah, I don't think that that's an unreasonable request here to start seeing some real... major forward progress, to see that great leap forward this year. I think that's entirely within the realm of... That should be entirely within the realm of possibility and should be the expectation to be set. Like, no more of this. I mean, they looked really good at the end of the season. No, like, now is the time to start actually pushing.
It has to be consistent. And and they're going to have to because it is still a tough division. I mean, you have some teams that they're not Stanley Cup bound, like I'm talking about Ottawa and Buffalo, but they're enough to squash any kind of dreams for the Wings. Then in the same division, you have Boston, Toronto, and Tampa. Not a great, wonderful spot to be in if you're trying to rebuild your team, but this is where we find ourselves.
Unfortunately, you're right on that. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around.
Hey, look, everybody, it's my butthole.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on Tuesday afternoon. Stick around, though, a full hour of local original music or whatever the hell it is that Adam does at 6 o'clock.
It's a whole special on colonoscopies.
Should be a good time all the way around. Sessions is next. All being well, we'll talk to you right back here tomorrow afternoon at 2. See ya!